Good morning. My name is Sharina, and I'm for housing. And I am also one of the founders of People's Community Medics. I'm a first responder to people who have been shot, have seizures, gunshot wounds, any type of bleeding trauma in our community before the EMTs arrive. I train children. I train community for free out the kindness of my heart because as of right now, as you can see, the response to people of color is slow, and the response is not equal. And so I, and along with a couple of my friends, developed People's Community Medics. I am a first responder for the community as well as the moms and anybody that's in a distress. We're here this morning. We're here this morning to talk about the letter that we received. On November the 18th, a group of mothers without shelter reclaimed possession of a vacant investor-owned property in West Oakland on December the 3rd. They received an eviction notice from Wedgwood & Company on the country's biggest fix and flip corporation that has profited significantly from housing crisis. December the 16th, Moms for Housing filed a third-party claim of right of possession. The claim delayed the eviction for 15 days. Any hearing date is now tentatively scheduled for the 30th. Westwood & Company has ignored multiple requests to negotiate with Moms for Housing and has refused to speak to us, the members of the organized collective of mothers who have offered to purchase this Magnolia Street home. Today, on Monday the 23rd, Moms for Housing and ACE received a letter, that was yesterday, from public relations firm Singer Associates and Company on behalf of James Washington, the founder of Shelter 37, is a nonprofit that claims to improve overall well-being of children with young adults whose lives have been affected and disrupted by crime, violence, and abandonment, and results of more at risk turning to gangs, crimes, drugs, and becoming withdrawn socially in debt. I chose to speak on that because Moms for Housing is created to prevent these types of things that Shelter 37 represents. We're trying to prevent that from happening. Moms should not be homeless, and we should not have children on the streets of trying to work for a place like this that push them out into this struggle. That's like putting somebody in a fire. That's like you got kids. That's like you want kids to fix a house that they can't afford to even buy. It's like it's not good for our children to be like that. And I just want to speak on, I want to give in the middle of my speech a moment of silence because it's just on me right now. A moment of silence for our people who are dying out there in these streets. We've had people to commit suicide over this week. We have people to just, babies to die. I've been hearing all type of things that been going on out here in Oakland. It's been a real struggle out on the streets for people that are homeless. It is not right for children to be homeless. Our bodies, black women and black children, bodies have been sold. They've been selling our body parts. They've been getting us off the streets and selling our body parts on the market. That's not right. We should not have be that vulnerable out there on the streets. And I just want to speak on that. And give a moment of silence. So can we give a moment of silence for all of the people that has passed on in the struggle of homelessness here in California, here, especially here in Oakland? Thank you. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Dominique Walker. I'm one of the moms for housing. This letter from Shelter 37 was penned by the PR firm Singer & Associates, Wedgewood is all about profit. They don't seem to care about us because we've made multiple offers to buy the homes, to negotiate with them, even though they should give it to us. They're only concerned about profit. Shelter 37 is their own. Greg Geiser sits on the board. So it's none of it. Shelter 37, we're trying to prevent that. Like Sharina said, we're unhoused and we have vulnerable children and they're living here. They're sheltered, so we should live here. We deserve to live here. If he was truly committed, he would support efforts like this to house unsheltered moms and children in the winter, not try to evict us before Christmas or before the new year. So we would just want to say to Wedgewood to sell us this home. Yeah. Thank you.
Dominique, can I ask you a question here?
We're actually going to do questions and answers after.
Okay.
We have elected officials here
that
want to share their contribution to this effort. So I'll have District 2 Councilmember Nikki Fortunato Paz speak next.
Hello, my name is Nikki Fortunato Bass. I am the council member for District 2 in Oakland. And first, I want to say to Serena and to Dominique, thank you for what you are doing for standing up for Moms for Housing. I met you both at the housing rally, heard you at City Hall, and I want to say to you as a city council member, I see you, I hear you, and I'm here in solidarity with you and Moms for Housing because every family deserves a safe and affordable home. These women are brave. These women are taking urgent action because of the crisis that they are personally experiencing, the crisis of housing affordability and homelessness that's impacting our city and impacting our state. And we, as a city, as a community, need to step up with that same level of urgency. And I think the solutions are clear because they have told you they moved into this house because they are members of this community. The shelters, the overnight shelters that Dominique has talked with us about are not serving our community. When you're a mom, like she described, who's juggling childcare, juggling jobs, juggling school, it's just not working. So there are simple solutions to this crisis. Number one, it's sitting down and negotiating with these moms to buy this house. I'm here because I support them and calling on Wedgewood to sit down and negotiate with them to purchase this house. And that is something that we are doing here in the city of Oakland, together with organizations like ACE and the Oakland Community Land Trust. My office worked with our city council to pass a budget that includes a new $12 million fund to permanently preserve affordable housing. We have the resources. The Oakland Community Land Trust is working with Moms for Housing to purchase this home. And so what we are asking for is simple. Wedgewood, sit down with Moms for Housing and negotiate the purchase of this home so that they can stay here in their community. We are tired of seeing families getting pushed to the curbs. It's shocking to me to hear that infants are dying, that people are committing suicide on our streets, when we have vacant land that could be used for transitional housing immediately. In my district, I'm working to identify vacant land that can house our unsheltered neighbors, and I call on each of my council members to do the same. We also have to build deeply affordable housing. As the moms have said, there's enough housing, vacant housing, to house every unsheltered person in this community. We need companies like Wedgewood to step up. For those of you who don't know who this company is, it claims to be the largest company to fix and flip housing. It profits $500 million off the speculative real estate market. And what they are doing is unconscionable because everyone deserves a home. Housing is not a commodity. Housing is a human right. And that is why we are all here, because on Christmas Eve, these women, they deserve to stay in this home, to negotiate, to be able to purchase it. And we're standing in solidarity with them today. Thank you.
Can I ask one question real quick? Isn't the city of Oakland partly to blame for some of this, too? I mean, there's a lot of property owners that are letting homes
sit vacant. I would love to have those questions answered. We have several representatives from our council offices. I have Bobby Lopez from Council President Kaplan's office here to speak.
Hi, good morning, everybody. My name is Barbara Lopez. I am here representing Council President Rebecca Kaplan. I also want to start off by saying, Karina, Dominique, we do hear you. We see you. You're not here in vain. And we're seeing what you're doing as a symbolic, larger thing that is impacting hundreds of people, if not thousands of people here in the city of Oakland. I just want to share that yesterday we sent a letter to Wedgewood Properties on behalf of the Council President. And in this letter, what we said to them is that they had an opportunity to take a moment that they considered strife and make it into an opportunity to work with the local Oakland-based community organizations. We even urged them to reach out to organizations like the Oakland Community Land Trust, an organization that, as Councilmember Bass has stated, has resources because we put those resources in the city budget to purchase homes like this for existing community members. There are solutions, there are opportunities to work with our community, and we're hoping that not just Wedgewood, but companies like Wedgewood that come into communities that they're not a part of, flip houses, look at the opportunity of bringing those houses back into the community. So we're hoping that they do hear us, and all the Wedgewoods across California hear us on that piece. I also want to name that we as the Oakland City Council, back in February, declared that there was a state of emergency around homelessness. And every single council meeting, we've been declaring a state of emergency. We're not the only city to do so. LA, San Francisco, San Diego, multiple cities across the state of California have declared state of emergencies. And what we want to see is homelessness being treated like if it was a fire in Napa or Sonoma, because it is a fire in Oakland, it is a fire in San Jose, it is a fire in our urban areas where folks are living on the streets. And I come from Mexico, and it's the first time in my life that I look on the street. And unfortunately, Mexico, we are used to, and we should not be normalized to seeing children and mothers begging. But here in Oakland, I am starting to see that. And that is not the Oakland I want to live in. I want to live in an Oakland where housing is seen as a human right and as a priority. And even Gavin Newsom's own Commission on Homelessness, his task force, some of the members have also called for making shelter a right, housing a right. And I think that's something that we as a state need to explore more. Now, in regards to vacancy, our office worked with other council members to pass the vacancy property tax for the very reason that we have thousands of properties currently in Oakland that are underutilized that could become housing. And while it was contentious in many moments, the reality is many of these folks don't live in the community and are having these blighted properties that could be turned into opportunities. And that's something we're going to continue to work on, is seeing how we can work on blighted properties, vacant properties, underutilized properties, and make them into more opportunities. But for today, our simple message is to be here in support of these women who did what any mother would do. I have two children. I live in Oakland. And if I were in your situation, I would have done the same thing, because at the end of the day, we want to protect our children. We want to give them the most opportunity. And the reality is we're not doing that. We're not doing that when homelessness 47% increases in the last 2 years. And we're not doing that when 70% of homeless folks are African American. There's something fundamentally wrong about what's going on. But the city needs support, the city needs help, and we need to hold organizations like Wedgewood accountable. If they're able to hire Sam Singer, who's a well-known PR crisis firm expert, reinvest and use that money in another purpose. Repurpose it to work with local communities, such as Oakland Community Land Trust. Thank you so much. And we have another speaker, I think.
Right. Seston. Chief of Staff, District 1, Dan Call, council member.
Good morning. This is a statement from council member Dan Call. Oakland obviously faces serious challenges to find long-term and permanent housing for our currently homeless neighbors. At the same time, we need to increase our stock of affordable housing for all below market levels in Oakland. The Oakland Community Land Trust is the perfect nonprofit entity to purchase and take over this property. They have a long-standing experience necessary to make this work for the community and for the residents who desperately need access to below market rate housing. Thank you.
What was your name, sir?
Seth Stewart, and I am the Chief of Staff for Councilmember Dan Kalb.
Can you spell that for us?
Kalb is...
Your name, sorry.
Seth is S-E-T-H. Mm-hmm. Stewart is S-T-E-W-A-R-D.
Thank you.
So we will open it up to questions and answers. My name is Carol Fife. I'm the director of the Alliance of Californians for Community Empowerment for Oakland and San Francisco. Thank you all for being here today. I think one of the things that needs to be stated that was not stated is the fact that if Wedgwood and Greg Geiser actually care about these mothers, they have hundreds and hundreds of properties throughout the East Bay. If they do not want to sell this particular home, which they've been offered to sell it, and the mothers have offered to purchase it, then where are some other properties that they can open up? And if they really care about the city of Oakland, then why would they bring in a Los Angeles-based nonprofit to come in and rehab one home as a job training program? I think there's a lot of questions that we need to ask about what's happening here, that needs to be stated for the record. Because it is our assertion that Wedgwood and organizations and real estate corporations like Wedgwood are not truly interested in the well-being of community. They're not truly interested and invested in families being okay. But that's just our assertion, which is why ACE is doing everything in our power to make sure these families and families like them, not just this one family, not just two families, but the entire city is actually taken care of, because we truly believe that housing is a human right. And you shouldn't be able to be put on the street because you can't pay a $4,000 a month rent. It's obscene. So we're just going to have the last few comments from Attorney Walter Riley, and then we can ask questions.
I want to assert, and I think we need to make it very clear, that this is a sham by Shelter 37. There is no reason that a community organization that is doing the work that they profess to do to come and move against these moms for housing, to try and, to in fact, build support to push them out, to build a legal cause for pushing them out, and to use their organization and all of their resources to push them out. It's a sham, and they should be ashamed. And I think the entire community of people organizing, grassroots organization across this country, needs to call upon them, point them out, and point the finger at the NFL player who uses all of his resources to push moms for housing out of this place. To undermine this movement cannot be accepted by grassroots organizations and communities across the country.
For the city council representatives, what will the city do if Wedgwood does not negotiate with the Oakland Land Trust? Would the city consider seizing the property by eminent domain?
I think that we'll look at all viable opportunities, including potential seizure of property, yes.
Bobby, can I ask how many vacant properties exist in Oakland?
Sure.
Homes?
Well, there it's not just homes, it's blocks and lots, so they could be zoned for multiple purposes, but I believe about 4,000. And we're happy to get your report, if you'd like, about all the vacant properties.
What would be the legal basis for seizing property?
Well, we're hoping that there's a negotiation process that occurs, and so this is really sort of a last-ditch effort. So as the city council, obviously our goal would be to move towards mediation and working the parties together instead of trying to go to that process. But it has a long history, and it's been used previously by other cities.
Does the city and state make it too easy for landlords who have rental properties to keep them vacant because they can just have it as a tax write-off, as a loss?
Yes, I mean, that's exactly why Council President Kaplan and the rest of the council put Measure W on the ballot last year. That's why we approved implementing that ordinance so that we can begin collecting vacant property taxes and provide an effective incentive to get these properties out onto the residential market so that people can be housed.
And the vacant property tax was overwhelmingly approved by Oakland voters by 70%. And it is something that other cities across California are reaching out to our office about, you know, San Francisco, what have you. So it is a crisis, as you've mentioned, not just of Oakland, but across California.
With, you know, recently City Council lowered some of the tax rates, right, for that tax. And I know there's a lot of exemptions. Two, how effective is this tax going to be?
I mean, we'll find out. I mean, there is a whole universe of people that are still, hundreds if not thousands of people that are impacted. I think what the purpose of the vacancy tax was not to hit the mom and pops, but really go after the companies like the Wedgwoods that hoard tons of property and then have it blighted throughout West Oakland, North Oakland, East Oakland. So I think that the reason we put exemptions in there is because we're not trying to hurt the little guy. We're just trying to make sure that the playing field is fair, but also that the larger companies are held accountable.
And we are, as a city council, we are working on multiple solutions to the housing affordability crisis. That includes working on tenant protections. That includes working on making sure that tenants actually have an opportunity to become homeowners, working with land trusts, working with co-ops to purchase their homes. That's the example in this case here with the moms. In addition, the city, as you heard earlier, approved a $12 million fund in our budget so that there are now some public resources to support land trusting homes exactly like this one.
So there's still a court date on December 30th. That's the immediate thing, right?
Yes. December 30th.
It actually changed. We just got word today, and I would ask that Leah Simon Weisberg comes to speak a little bit about the change in court date.
So it's a little bit troubling because somehow mysteriously documents seem to have been filed by the Sheriff's Department, which is not appropriate. It does appear that the court doesn't know how to use the claim of right to possession properly, and it appears that they have advanced the court date to the 26th at 9 a.m. and it'd be at the same courthouse.
So what happens after the 20th? Like, is there a possibility they'd have to get out on the 26th?
It's possible that the judge could deny the claim of right to possession, and then that would allow the sheriff to go forward. But we have to have the hearing first.
It's 2 days from now.
That's right. It was supposed to be the 30th, which was also a shorter time than they're supposed to give. It is, again, concerning, and I think folks have shared, that our court system is kind of the last bastion of completely ignoring the housing crisis. Every single person who has been kicked out of their home is done through the courts. And I think the fact that they have done this and advanced it in an insensitive way the day after Christmas is very concerning. And we hope that the judge proves to be more thoughtful than what the fact that the court date has been advanced appears to be showing.
For the moms, I see you have a Christmas tree. Are you trying to give your children some normalcy? Or, I mean, you have a press conference here. Are they very aware of what's going on?
I want my children to know exactly what's going on because it affects them directly. And we do have a Christmas tree, and we are going to enjoy Christmas here.
How has it been living in this house? How's the community been responding, and how's just the experience been so far?
It's been overwhelmingly supportive on this lot in particular. Our neighbors speak; they come over, bring things. We have a good relationship with our neighbors on Magnolia Street.
Well, if there are no further questions, we are going to get to the business of organizing. So we thank you all for being here, and we'll keep everybody posted on what's happening.
Thank you.